James 4. Let's begin our reading at verse 6, and we'll read through verse 10. Actually, let's begin at verse 4. James writes, by the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Be wretched, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." Amen. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Well, we left off last Sunday with this command and the accompanying promise, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That is a very, very great command and promise, that summons, that invitation to draw near to God and to know that he will draw near to you. And of course, in verse 7, we saw the parallel command and promise coming just before, and that was, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Command to resist, the promise, he will flee from you. And these two commands together, we could say they really sum up so much of the Christian life and how we need to be living, seeking to live. We need to be seeing the devil's backside and also seeing the face of God. That is, we need to keep on resisting the devil and seeing him flee from us, and we need to keep drawing near and nearer still to God. And we do that drawing near to him in prayer, drawing near to him through his word. As long as we believers live in this life, that promise is there for us, that promise that God holds out, that we may draw near to him, he will draw near to us. There is always a closer closeness to God available for us. So keep drawing nearer to him all your days. And then today we come to verse 8, and James gives us another couple of commands here. He says, first, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, James is telling us here not to literally wash our hands, not to literally get the dirt cleaned off our bodies. He's not talking about external cleansing here. For one, we can see that in the way he refers to us as believers. He refers to us, first of all, as sinners. Whatever this cleansing is, it has to do with us being sinners. And sin is not an outward substance that you can just wash off with soap and water. I wish. I had someone come and clean one of our cars yesterday, and because it really needed it. It was beyond me what needed to be done in this vehicle. And it was not us that did it. We bought the car. It was a wonderful car mechanically, but it needed a really good cleaning inside and out. And boy, did that thing get clean. I couldn't believe what an incredible job they did. of cleansing this thing of the dirt that was in there. They showed me what came out of that vehicle, and what a difference that made. But sin is a spiritual matter. It's an inward problem, first and foremost. Now, we have an outward aspect. It works its way out in our lives, in our actions. But sin starts within, inside of us. And this second command that James gives here kind of drives home the point. He says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, the different commands, but they're really saying the same thing. They're stressing sin is the thing that needs to be dealt with. Sin that begins in the heart and in the mind. It's internal, first of all. This problem of sin is spiritual. It's about impure hearts, double minds. That's where the problem is. That's where the corrective needs to be applied. These inner problems do lead to outward actions, of course. Out of the heart flow all kinds of wickedness. The first commandment here, or the command that James gives, is referring to hands, may be emphasizing the outward. It may be emphasizing actions, because sin is not just in the heart, it is also acted out. But the second command James gives really stresses the inner life. He's taking aim here at sin within, first of all. But it's both, isn't it? It's the hand and the heart that we have to contend with. And James is calling us to repentance. God is calling us to repentance as believers, inwardly and outwardly, in hand and heart. Christian, God is calling you to clean up your outward actions and your inner life. It's not one or the other, it's both. That's the life of repentance that God calls us to live out all our days. It's a continual repentance, a life of repentance. And that's what this life of living near to God looks like. It's not some life of perfection where we've gotten rid of sin and now we're near to God. No, it's a continually repenting of our sin and staying near to God. And I love how James is just, man, he just keeps it real. And he does it again here in the way he refers to us. Sinners, double-minded. He's not very genteel in the way he speaks at times. He's just real. And this is good. And we need to be real. This is the reality about us, still, at our best. I hope you realize that. And I hope you can admit it and confess it to God, at least. You, Christian, at your very best, at your most mature, you're still a sinner and double-minded. And that's due to the fact, well, that you have a sin nature still within you. And you will for the rest of your life until God takes you out of this life. You have a new nature as well. You've been given a new, fresh start, and you've been regenerated if you've trusted in Jesus Christ. You've been given that, made a new creation, and yet you have that old nature still within you, clinging to you. Thus, the two minds, the double-mindedness. The Greek word is actually double-souled. That's sobering to think about, isn't it? It's like you have two souls, you and I both. All of us as believers. Two souls competing within us. Competing allegiances. One soul has an allegiance to God. The other has an allegiance to the world and to sin and even to the devil. That's the reality of our situation in life now as believers. And if it sounds like a real problem, a real nasty kind of situation, it is. It sounds like psychosis or something, doesn't it? I mean, split personality, that's what it sounds like. And it's something like that. It's a terrible condition when you think about it. Two-souled. And James' point is that we must not allow it to go on. We must do what is necessary to remedy this condition of ours, these two souls competing for dominance. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's no way we can completely solve this problem in this life. There is no 100% cure for this problem of the sin nature that remains in us, not in this life anyway. There's no way you can completely eradicate it from your life. When we leave this body, when the Lord calls us home, we'll be set free from it completely, from the very presence of sin. But until then, we've got to deal with it. We've got to fight it. Tooth and nail, that old sin nature, that old man. We have to fight against that inner enemy. We have to starve it and not feed it. We have to keep it nailed to the cross. You cannot serve two masters. That's basically what James is saying here. Don't vacillate back and forth between the two. Commit yourself to one or the other. And he's saying, for you, believer, you're called, you are commanded to commit yourself to God and to a single-minded life of pursuing Him and purity in Him. Again, that doesn't mean perfection. You're not going to achieve perfection. We will fail often. And so what that means is that we need to confess our failures, confess our sins to the Lord. Often, early and often, all the time we need to be doing this. As often as we're aware of our sinning, and even as we're not aware of our sinning, we know the fact is we are sinners. The cleansing of the hands here is an image that probably points to the confession of sin, our need to confess. The priests in the Old Testament cleansed their hands before they went into the tabernacle, and that was a visual way of showing that cleansing was necessary. No one could just enter into God's holy presence without cleansing. And that was a symbolic, ceremonial cleansing that pointed to this cleansing that God promises to do for us when we confess our sins. When we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to do what? To forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's His promise. And that's how it comes about. Not by us cleaning up our act ourselves. First and foremost, confessing our sins to the Lord. We need that cleansing so much. So confession is something that we need. Confession of your sins should be the most normal and natural thing in your life now as a believer. If you're real about your sin, this should be a normal thing, a normal part of your life. Confessing your sins. It should be as natural to you now as breathing and eating. You have to breathe. You have to eat. You have to confess your sins because you're a sinner. That sin nature is always there in us, and it is always going to do what it does. It's going to stir up. It's going to churn up more and more muck and filth from our sinful hearts. And it's going to churn it out into our lives and our thoughts and our words and our deeds. We have no business pretending that it's otherwise. We have no business pretending that we're already cleansed and we don't have these kind of problems, that we don't sin. And so we certainly don't have any business living with unconfessed sin. Not if we want to live near to God. Not if we want this beautiful promise, draw near to God and I will draw near to you, the Lord says. We draw near to Him in this way, confessing our sins, keeping short accounts with Him. You have to deal with your sins honestly before God. Not pretending it isn't there, not sweeping it under the rug, By owning it, confessing it to your Father in heaven, who's made full provision for the forgiveness of all those sins. And by trusting in the blood of his Son, the Lamb of God, whom he sent to take away your sin and the sin of the world. That's the provision he's made for your sin. We're so blessed to have this Savior and this awesome promise of ongoing cleansing God's way, inward cleansing, real forgiveness, a real fresh start. I loved it. That was the name of the people that I used to come and clean our car. Fresh Start Detailers. That's what God gives us, a fresh start by cleansing us. The moment we repent, turn from our sin, and ask him to wash us and make us clean, we can believe that he does it. But this also means we need to make a break with sin in our lives. Just as we need to resist the devil, we need to continue resisting sin in our lives. We have to fight it. We have to say no to it. Move away from sin and move toward God. We seek and we seek his grace to enable us to do this, but we need his grace to strengthen us so that we will fight this fight and seek to stop sinning against him outwardly. That should be our commitment, inwardly and outwardly, seeking to turn from sin, break with sin. But that outward aspect of turning away from sin, it begins with this inward confession of sin, forgiveness, and knowing and believing. People knowing and believing that God really does forgive you, that he really cleanses you completely, that you really have a completely fresh start the moment you come up from that confession. That is a powerful truth. That is a motivating truth. And we need that motivation to help us to draw near to God and to help us to move away from sin. And to break with that double-mindedness and that waffling between God and the world. If you're torn in your affections between God and the world and sin, that double-mindedness, the answer is not to just, hey, I got to grit my teeth and try harder. I got to be better. I got to do better. That's not going to work. The answer is you need to dig deeper into the gospel and believe it for yourself. Believe this good news that God loves you, sinner. He loves you, his sinful child. And he loves you so much that he gave his one and only Son to die for your sins. And he delights to continue forgiving you, give you clean hands and a pure heart. And it's not by your works of righteousness. It's by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. You need to keep clinging to Jesus like that. God gives you this forgiveness, this cleansing, as a free gift of his grace. And when we believe this and when we rest on it, we rest in the fact that his grace forgives and cleanses us from all things, then we will be more inclined to love God and to draw near to him. And we'll be more motivated to turn from our sin and live in that single-minded devotion to the Lord in obedience to him. That single-mindedness is not just something you decide to jump into one day. It's something you grow in. And it happens as you continue to grow in your knowledge of and your belief in God's wonderful love and grace that saves you from start to finish. Enjoy his grace. Enjoy his love. It's yours in Jesus Christ. So the command is there for us, and it calls us to break with sin, calls us to seek this purifying of our hearts and lives, and we must seek to put an end to that two-souled way of thinking and living. We must seek to become single-minded worshipers of the Lord, living near to him. But again, the only way to do that is to seek more of God's grace that cleanses us and changes us. His grace alone can do that. His grace alone can change your mind and your heart and your outward actions as well. That's repentance. It's grace-powered. Don't think of repentance as just you taking action, you doing your part to turn around your life and your behavior. You do have action to take, but true repentance, it's not about you in your own strength doing anything. It involves you looking away from your own strength, in fact. True repentance is linked intimately with faith in Christ. It involves looking to God, confessing your sin to Him, and then laying hold of His grace to forgive you and to change you. True repentance is always linked that way to true faith. It relies on God in that way. It relies on Christ and His grace to forgive and cleanse and to change. You're not relying on yourself for this. You're relying on God every step of the way. You're relying on His Son and the grace that He gives. And the truth is, you and I can never really be in this life pure enough in heart to be accepted by God. But Jesus was. Jesus was pure in heart, and He was the only one. The Beatitude says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." And that's echoing Psalm 24, which says, "Who will ascend the holy hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." When you read that psalm, don't think, "Man, I gotta improve myself. I gotta get to be like that so that I can come up to that high place with God." And when you see that, you cling to Jesus. He's the one with clean hands and a pure heart. Only He fits that bill. He was not a sinner. He truly had clean hands and a pure heart without sin. And yet He took our sin upon Himself. And He bore our transgressions. He had no double-mindedness. He certainly wasn't double-minded about resisting the devil. He did that perfectly as well. He wasn't double-minded about obeying God's law. He obeyed that perfectly in everything. He wasn't double-minded about going to the cross to pay for your sin, believer. And mine. He wasn't double-minded at all about saving you. He was on a mission. And He never wavered. He was single-minded in His focus to carry out that mission that the Father gave Him to save sinners. So keep your eyes focused on Him, on Christ, and not yourself. He is the one who is perfect. He was perfect in His humility. He was perfect in His submission to God. Perfect in resisting the devil. Perfect in living near to God. Perfect in purity. He's a perfect Savior. And He'll purify you from all your sins. And He will keep purifying you all through your life as you continue confessing your sins again and again, until that one day when you'll be purified completely. Jesus will purify you entirely. He will bring you near to God forever, and He will make you perfect like Himself. We'll be transformed in the twinkling of an eye into His likeness. And then that two-souled problem, that wavering heart, that struggle to draw near, that struggle to obey, those struggles will be gone. They'll vanish forever. And that time is coming very soon. It is coming soon. Man, I wish you a long life, but this life is short. And praise God that it is. Because this struggle will be over very soon. Know that. Think about that. You will be completely purified, living in God's blessed, holy presence without sin very soon. And what a far better life that will be. Oh, so much better. Keep your eyes on that prize. This world is passing away. I don't know about you, but for me, it's less and less interesting all the time, this world. It's less and less enticing. Keep your focus on Christ and that future grace that He will give you. Remember the grace that He's already given you to justify you the moment you trusted in Him. Remember the grace that He continues to give you, sanctifying you, forgiving you afresh. But keep looking forward to that ultimate grace that He will lavish upon you one day very soon, when He glorifies you and saves you to the uttermost. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we praise You and we love You. And we love You, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit. We thank You for Your marvelous grace and this perfect plan of redemption and how You have drawn us into it. We rejoice in it, Lord. We pray that You'd give us grace to walk and live in godliness and in true repentance and in faith in Your Son. We praise You for this great promise of forgiveness of all our sin and cleansing. And we look forward to the day that we'll be set free completely from all sin. Lord, hasten that day. And we give You praise. We pray that You'd enable us by the power of Your Holy Spirit to rejoice and to draw near to You and trust in You for the full forgiveness of all our sins. Give us joy as we believe in this great blessing, the blessedness of being forgiven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.